Joshua, chapter 21.
You know, the Old Testament, much of the Old Testament is about the people of God. And we have in the Old Testament a great picture of, in a historical setting, of the people of God. We see in the New Testament great principles, great truths, yet they haven't been lived out, you know. We have these great truths about the Christian and what God says about the Christian, but we don't have them lived out. We only have a little bit of the history in the book of Acts. And so the Bible in the Old Testament has all the pictures, all the stories, all the realities of those same truths lived out. And it's so clear of how the truth is lived out that we are to live. It's lived out in the Old Testament people. And so the Old Testament has so many great truths for us. And we are in Joshua, in Leviticus, Joshua chapter 21. We have the great chapter about the Levitical cities of Israel. And if you count them, there are 48 Levitical cities. Now, Levi was the priestly tribe. And Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And all of the sons of Levi have to do with the worship of God, the temple worship, et cetera, et cetera. And we find in Leviticus chapter 21 of Joshua, we're going to start there looking at what it says. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, now remember, Shiloh is where the tabernacle was. The Lord God commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their suburbs. And now we're going to see that list, verse 4. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribes of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. Now, a couple interesting things here. It says this was by lot. Now, we have a little map here of the Levitical cities. Maybe they'll show it for us. And there were 48 Levitical cities. Now, if you look at the map here, you see there are 13 Levitical cities around in Judah and in Benjamin. And, of course, Simeon had cities within the territory of Judah. And so there are 13 cities of Levitical cities. Can you imagine that? 13 cities full of preachers. 13 cities full of preachers. Now, another thought is, remember, these were chosen by lot. Okay, so however that was, you know, let's have, you have 48 sticks, you know, and he got all these cities on the sticks, okay? And 13 of those sticks are in Benjamin and Judah, and of course Simeon is scattered among the tribe of Judah. And so they go to the temple at the tabernacle before the Lord, and they pick by lot these 13 cities. And guess what? These 13 cities for the Kohathites are all right around Jerusalem. At that time, the tabernacle was in Shiloh, in Ephraim. But God, in his sovereign plan, he knew that the temple was going to be in the future at Jerusalem. And the Kohathites, they found their cities all surrounding Jerusalem. And interesting part. And we see here all these cities of the different, it's not a little blurry there, the Kohathites, and then there's Kohathites in the north, and then there's the, I can't even read it there, the Gershonites, and then you have those of the tribe of the family of Merari. Now, we're going to kind of get back to that in a minute, but we're kind of given the application here for a minute. What do you think about that? What do you think about God's plan? 48 cities full of preachers in an area at the most 50 miles wide by 150 miles long. 48 cities full of preachers. What do you think about God's plan of permeating the people of God with the Bible? What do you think about that? 48 cities of preachers. 48 cities of the tribe of Levi who are to set the example of what a holy life is. Now, we'll get back to that in a little bit. But let's talk about the Levites a little bit tonight. Now, if you know the history of the Levites, oh boy. Levi didn't have a very good start. You know that? Levi came with his brothers and their father and Dinah out of Padan Aram, and they came to Shechem. And there, Dinah committed fornication with Hamor, Shechem's with Shechem, the son of Hamor, in Shechem. Wasn't a good deal. And make the long story short, they made a deceitful deal, you know about it, that, oh yeah, we'll let you marry our daughter, just get all the males get circumcised, and it'll work out. And so all the men said, sure, we'll be circumcised, and they got circumcised, and they were kind of put out of commission, you might say, and Levi and Simeon went and slaughtered them all for violating their sister. And this is what God said. It says, verse 25, and it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each of them his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. But if you go to chapter 49... of Genesis. Turn with me to chapter 49. And here we find Jacob's, you might say, prophecy concerning Simeon and Levi. Verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in the habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them and Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. So, in all the tribes of Israel, you will not find a plot of ground for Levi. You will not find a plot of ground for Levi. And you'll find not a plot of ground, a section of Israel that says, Simeon. Levites were scattered throughout Israel, and Simeon was scattered throughout Judah. And this was the judgment upon their anger and their cruelty. But that's not where the story ends. If you would look at Numbers chapter 3, you find out that it turns out that the family of Levi becomes the priestly family. In Numbers chapter 3, verse 12, and it says, And behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that spreadeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine. Because all the firstborn are mine, for on that day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be, I am the Lord. Now, there's two incidences that you might say change God's mind about the future of the Israelites. Turn with me to Exodus 32. And here we find Moses on the mount, getting the law from God, and the people, there was a leader of the people who listened to the people rather than to God. His name was Aaron. And they said to Aaron, make us a god. And he did. He made a golden calf. And they took their worship out of Egypt. They took their heathen music. They committed immorality. They danced. They were immodest. They brought all the worship of Egypt, all the wicked worship of Egypt, and attributed it to God through this golden calf. And Moses comes down from the mountain, and he sees this terrible, terrible situation. And verse 25 of Exodus 32. And when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood up in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let them come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in out and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. In other words, all of those who had committed immorality all of those who were dancing naked before this golden calf and worshiping him. And he said, and they went, and they were the instruments of God's judgment on this wicked, 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 wicked heathen idolatry. And you know, he said, this is about what's right. It's not about who your brother is. It's not about who your sister is. It's not about who your father is. It's about what's right. What's right? Who loves God above everything else? And so Moses says, who's on the Lord's side? And you can just kind of, you could kind of, you know, you can just kind of see the crowd. Not me, not me. I'm not going to stand up for the Lord. And Levi says, I'm on the Lord's side. Well, we have a similar situation in Numbers chapter 25. In Numbers chapter 25, the result of Balaam and Moab. This is Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They were coming up on the east side of the Jordan River. They were going to come in the land. The Moabites were looking for some way to curse Israel. And they said, hey, let's find a prophet that we can get to curse Israel. And so they found Balaam, a prophet for hire. The Bible uses Balaam as a symbol of a prophet who can be hired to do wrong, to preach a false message. And so they hired Balaam to curse the people of Israel, and God wouldn't let them do it. And they gave him as many bribes as possible, and he said, well, maybe if you give me a few more $1,000, you know, it'll work, and I can curse him. And it didn't work. God said, I won't let you curse him. I love Israel. They're my people. And so, make a long story short, Balaam says, said to Balak, I can't curse Israel, but I tell you what you can do. God won't curse them. But I tell you, take your most beautiful daughters and let them be prostitutes for Baal. And let them go offer themselves to the Israeli men. And in doing so, they, in their illicit relationship, will be joining to Baal. Most of the heathen religions were very, very immoral. And so he says, I can't curse them because God won't curse them, but let them sin, lead them into sin, and then God will have to judge them. And so that's what took place. And so we find that is the situation. Verse 6 of chapter 25. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite-ish woman in the sight of Moses. Can you imagine the audacity? He, right in front of Moses, this man brings this wicked heathen woman, marches her right past Moses, and takes her into his tent. That's just plain bold, isn't it? Bold, wicked, rebellion against God. And it says, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who are now weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, they're weeping over the sin spreading over their people. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Verse 11. Phinehas, this is what the Lord said, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, we see that the curse on Levi was turned into a blessing. And now the tribe of Levi becomes God's special tribe. God's special tribe, the tribe that he is going to entrust to whom the temple worship, the teaching of the Bible throughout the land. They had proven that they were a people who loved God more than anything else. And you know what? That's a picture of a real Christian. And that's a picture of a real preacher who will stand up for the truth no matter what. And will stand up for God no matter what. And what a great picture. And so now, we see that being fulfilled in Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21, they are now distributing all the cities to the Levites. And so we see here what we've been talking about. We see a special call. A special call upon the people of the Levites. And so, we read there, verse 5, it says, the rest of the children of Kohath, by the lot, out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. And the children of Gershon had by lot, out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. And so we see these different places, and East Manasseh is on the east side of the Jordan River, and we see where those cities are, full of the descendants of Kohath. And it goes on to, Kohath, and then you have Gershon, then you have Merari. Now, in the tabernacle, the Kohathites were all about taking care of the ark, the sanctuary, and all its duties. You'll find that the sons of Gershon, they had charge of all the coverings, all the goat skins, all the boards and skins for the sides of the tabernacle, and then the Merari, Numbers 3, 36 and 37, they had tent stakes, etc., of the tabernacle. They were divided that way. They all had a different job, and the Kohathites, because they were of the priestly family, their whole ministry was around the ark, the table of showbread, candlestick, and the altar of incense. Okay? But they had a special calling. They were God's priests, all the Levites. And, you know, it's a picture of you and I. We have a special calling. We're different than all the people of the world. When you get saved, you get a special calling. What is that calling? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Let's look at that, a great verse there. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us," that's us, the believers in Jesus Christ, "and washed us from our sins in his own blood." He saved us. And what? "He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." He has made us priests unto God and his Father. Now, compare that to, for instance, like 1 Peter and verse 8. 1 Peter 2:8. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, what we're seeing is that the family of the Levites are representative of Christians, all Christians. Because every Christian is a priest. Every Christian is a priest. Every Christian has direct access to God. Every Christian can talk to God. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And every Christian can understand the Bible. You know, some religions say only the preachers can understand the Bible. Don't read the Bible. No, the Bible says that every believer is a priest. And every believer has direct access to God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that every believer is a priest. Now, think about the priest. Turn to Numbers chapter 3, verse 45. Now remember, when Israel was in Egypt, the last miracle was the plague of the firstborn. And God told Israel, "Now go out and take a lamb, an innocent lamb. Gather your family together, slay that lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and put it on your doorposts." It's a picture of your faith in the coming Messiah. And that night, he says the death angel is going to come by, and everyone who doesn't have blood on the doors, who doesn't show their faith in Jesus Christ, in that house, the firstborn of every animal, the firstborn in the family, they're all going to die. And of course we know Pharaoh said, "Get out of here. I can't resist that God any longer." But God said in that plague that he saved all the firstborn of Israel. All the firstborn of Israel didn't die. And he said, the people, the Levites, will be equivalent to the firstborn. They're mine. They belong to me. They are to serve me. I am to be, everything in their life is to be for serving God. And so, Numbers 3:45, it says, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel and among the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. Now, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, the verses that we were looking at, there's a very interesting parallel, but you are a chosen generation, okay? Yep, chosen by God. You have special calling. You're a royal priesthood. The Levites were God's priests. They were to minister next to him, for him. And it says, and a holy nation. A holy nation means holy. What does holy mean in the Bible? It means set aside from common and defilement. And set apart for the exclusive use of God. Exclusive use of God. And it says, and a peculiar people. This word peculiar is the idea, a people that are owned by God. That's what that word peculiar means. In other words, you're different than anybody else. You're God's own possession. You're not your own. Oh, wait a minute. For ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Huh? You have been redeemed. You've been bought out of the slave market of sin with the ransom price, the blood of Jesus. You do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We have a special calling. We have a special calling. We belong to God. Now think about that. Isn't that the sad issue of the day? Isn't that the devil's perversion of the hour? People saying, this is my life. I can live my life the way I want. I don't have to serve God. It's my choice. Wait a minute. Oh, I know that there's truth there, but you don't get that. You're not getting it. God owns us. Our life is not for ourselves. We are possessed by God. We're His. And so we have a special calling and we have a special service. We have a special service. What is that special service? Well, that special service is to serve God. Now, serve God. I want us to think about that. What were the priests all about? I want us to think about two things about the priests. Okay? Turn with me, first of all, to Malachi. Chapter 2, verse 1. Last book in the Old Testament. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Okay, talking to the priests. It says, verse 4, "And this shall you know, that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for fear, wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name." We saw that. He put God first above man. It says, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity," that means that which is right, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." This is very important truth. Now remember, the Levites represent every Christian. But think of it in the context of Israel. You have all these cities full of priests. And what's their job? Their job is to go and teach the Bible. That's what their job was. They were to go throughout the land of Israel. Can you imagine that? Huh? Can you imagine that? These thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And their job was to go throughout the land teaching the Bible, standing up for what's right, denouncing sin, teaching the truth. How much does God want society to be permeated with the truth? You ever thought about that? How much does God want the society to be permeated with the truth? Now you think about one of the problems with Milwaukee. You know what one of the problems with Milwaukee is? Is Milwaukee a city permeated with the truth? Is it? No. It's not a city permeated with truth. I mean, you're going to be hard pressed in the city of Milwaukee to find good, strong, Bible-believing churches. They're going to be very rare. And there's going to be people, multitudes of people in that city who know nothing about God. Nothing. God's plan was society to be permeated with preachers and their families. Preachers who didn't fear the face of man, who stood for right no matter what. Didn't matter what their friends, their relatives were pressuring them to do, they're going to stand up for right. Now, let's think about something else. Okay? What else about the priest? And we'll... just as obvious. What about a priest? What is a priest? Well, a priest is someone who can talk to God. Amen? And what does 1 Timothy say? "I exhort, therefore, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, giving the thanks be made for all men." And tells us in the church, the first order of the church is that the men are to be men of prayer. That's the first order of the church in Timothy. Now, I'm not discounting the ladies, but the men are to be men of prayer. It says, "Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Yep, that's God's plan. And you know what? The devil's plan is to get men's hands dirty. That's why we live in such a lustful world, so man's hands are dirty. So they can't be men of prayer. But there's another truth about the priest. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 10. They have a special service. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And here's the context that Nadab and Abihu drank some liquor. And they drank liquor and they decided to worship God in some way other than the way he just prescribed. And they went into the holy place and they died. They died. And this is what God says, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, he just lost his two sons. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when thou goest into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. What's it saying? No alcohol on your breath, Christian. No alcohol on your breath. The Holy Spirit lives right in us. We don't have to go to the tabernacle to be in the presence of God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't drink any wine nor strong drink when thou goest in the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Verse 10, that ye may put difference between the holy and unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. You see that? That ye may put difference between the holy and the unholy. That's the job of a priest. They're to show God to the people. They're to show God to the people. There's a friend of mine. His name was Kunst. He was a German. He immigrated to Canada and he got saved. Heard the Bible, got saved. He got called to preach. This is a long time ago. And he got called to preach and God led him to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. This is about 1975. He was the first missionary eventually that our church supported. And we were just tiny. And he said, hey, you know what? Start me off at $5 a week. Anything. And so we did. But he said to me, you know, he said, Pastor Roberts, the last drink I took was the Saturday morning before I went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. I took a drink before I got into the car, and I knew that when I got on that Bible College campus, I wouldn't be able to drink again. He says, but the last one was that morning. And he says, you know, it was really tough for me to make that decision. And he said, everything the Bible said didn't sink in. And he says, I'll tell you why. He says, because I was from the north of Germany, and northern Germany is Lutheran territory. And he said, the Saturday before Easter Sunday, all the kids who went through catechism, the next day, they were going to go to church and they were going to take the Lord's Supper and become members of the church. Or they're going to become members of the church and take the Lord's Supper, that order. And so the priest would come and visit the Lutheran priest, the pastor, I guess you call him, would go and visit every family and celebrate with them. And so he went to every family, and at every family he had a drink of wine to celebrate that the fact that their child was going to become a member of the church. You know, it was a pretty sacred thing, pretty important thing. And so he said, well, obviously, by the end of the day, I mean, this priest was, you know, he was, amen, you know. I mean, he was inebriated to the max. He had quite a few glasses of wine. And he says, you know, he says, my whole childhood is full of these pictures of the holy man of God drunk. And in my mind, I associated him with God. He was the holy man. And he represented God. And if in my whole life I always, it was always the picture in your mind of seeing that Lutheran priest drunk on the Saturday before Easter Sunday. He said, I couldn't make a difference between what was right and what was wrong. The Bible puts it pretty clear, doesn't it? That ye may put a difference between the holy and the unholy. And between the clean and the unclean. You know, think about that. The cry of the hour is people say, don't tell me what to do. I got freedom in Christ. I can do what I want to do, and man, if I don't have any convictions about it, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Don't tell me what kind of movie I can watch, what I can't watch. Don't tell me. I'm free. No, you aren't. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God. And you've been called with a special calling to serve Him with your life. A special calling with a special service. And you know what the purpose of your life is? Your purpose of your life is to spread the word of God to the whole world. And your purpose of life is to represent God to the people. And the purpose of your life is to represent the people to God. To present them to Jesus Christ in faith and in prayer. That's a picture, isn't it? You know what? That's as clear can be. That's as clear can be. Now notice, lastly, the special promise. Notice the special promise. A couple places to go. Joshua chapter 18. Joshua 18. Verse 7. But the Levites have no part among you. For the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Wow. The priests have no part among you. They didn't have any land. There wasn't a section of land here that says Levites. They had cities. And they had the borders of those cities for their animals, their gardens, but they didn't have a lot. They didn't have an inheritance. He says the priesthood is their inheritance. Chapter 18, chapter 13 and verse 14. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now, there's a special promise. Now, you aren't going to get Now you're going to get cities, and all the tithes are yours. Now don't think that God said the Levites were to be poor. The vow of poverty of the priest is not in the Bible. It is not in the Bible. Totally not in the Bible. Now think about it. They were supposed to get 10% of all the increase of the people, right? Plus all the offerings by fire. They were 1/12 of the people. They were to get 1/10. As God blessed the nation of Israel, guess what? The Levites were blessed. You know, this idea is supposed to keep the preacher poor. That's not in the Bible anywhere. But what is in the Bible? What is in the Bible? This is what's in the Bible. Mark chapter 10. Verse 29. And Jesus, verse 29, Peter began to say unto them, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto thee, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold. And now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. What does it say in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5? It says, And he hath made us kings and priests unto God. Our real inheritance is in the future. Our real inheritance is in the future. The Levites were a people who were pilgrims in one sense. Who belonged to God and whose inheritance was in heaven. The question is, are you living for this world? Or are you living for the next world? That's the question. Living for this world? Or are you living for the next world? A special promise. A special promise. That's who we are. We're a people, a special calling. You know, isn't it amazing? If you start listening to the world, you know, ever since the Scope trials, the media, before the Scopes trials, the media recognized that Christians were the most important element in society. Did you know that? After the Scopes trials, the media pictured the Christian as the ignorant one. But before that, when America had revival, almost continued revival from 1800 all the way to 1880s, in America, the Christians and the truth of the Bible was considered great. Most important thing in society. But after the Scopes trials, the media took the message that the Christian was the ignorant one. But you know, when you look at the Bible, God's people are still special. They have a special call. They have a special ministry. And they have a special reward. The world is trying to gain the world. And they're losing their own soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? No. You know, there's a day Jesus Christ is going to rule this world. Amen. And hopefully he will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe you say, you know what? I had a call for you. Your call, you were my people. You were to spread the gospel to the ends of the world. That was your job. You were to live representing a holy life so you wouldn't confuse the people over what's right and wrong. You were to worship me with the sacrifices of praise and the sacrifices of your offerings. You were to adore me. You are my people. You have a job to do. And there's a special reward for those who have faithfully fulfilled God's plan for their life. And at that day, Jesus will say to his faithful servants, well done, thou faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Wow. Isn't that great? I wonder tonight, are you God's special people? You a part of God's special people? The people that God have called out of this world to be his children. To serve him with their life. To be different from the world and to rightly represent a holy God to this lost, confused world. And to live for this next life, not for this life. A special people with a special calling, with a special reward. We are, in that sense, a people of God's own possession. In that sense, we are a peculiar people. We are different from all. All the peoples of the world. Because we're his. We're his. Now, as we close, very simply. Are you living like, hey, I'm my own person. I'm my own person. I can live my own life. You missed the point. Well, maybe you aren't God's person. Maybe you really aren't God's person. Maybe you don't really belong to him. Maybe you don't. You know, in order to belong to him, you have to be born again. Maybe you don't belong to him. Maybe that's why you say. Maybe that's why you are rebellious. Maybe that's why you want to live your own life. Maybe that's why you don't know the difference between right and wrong. You really don't belong to God. But if you do, and you have that attitude, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to confess your sin. That's godless, godless, godless sin. Say, I can live my own life. Got a special ministry. A privileged ministry to serve the Lord. Isn't that great? Have you said, Lord, whatever you want in my life. Lord, I want to do what you want for my life. I want to live for you. You know, you can only say that to God when you have decided that you're, he owns you. And the Great Commission is for you. And you know, you won't have to worry about whatever you give up for God in this life. Because there's a far greater reward in the next life. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this great picture. This clear picture of who we are of your plan for our life. What is to be the real spirit?